Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And welcome to the Red Men TV. I am somewhere in the middle of Wolverhampton.
You're at Goresbrook Road bus stop.
There you go. Text NWMJMJPM. Dead easy for me to say. To 84268, I don't know why, but anyway, we're here to talk about Liverpool getting beaten by Wolverhampton Wanderers in the FA Cup third round. Dog shit?
Shite. Could say poo, but I think shite. Nah, there's nothing really saving grace about that performance at all, man. I mean, you look at any part of the pitch, I mean, we had a weak team to start with, so you kind of expected a poor performance, but you never expect something like as terrible as that. I mean, you can go across the pitch, Mignolet's distribution, terrible, putting the 16-year-old right back under pressure. I mean, then you go in the final third, there's nothing going forward. I think we had like three chances in the first half and two of them were offside. And I mean, like, no creativity in the midfield. It was only until, I mean, Bobby Firmino and Salah come on that we even looked like we actually fancy a game.
Yeah, that was it. Like, I mean, first half, we'll have to talk about it because I think it shapes the entire complexion of the game. Yeah. Dejan Lovren going down with what looked like a hamstring injury to us 4 minutes into the game. It changed everything. You know, you've got a centre-back there who, whatever people think of him, was the leader of that back four.
Yeah, definitely.
And he goes off and you're left with a defensive midfielder and a 16-year-old. And Mignolet behind them, Moreno left-back, Camacho right-back. And right then and there, the warning signs were there that is not a defence that if you put them under pressure will be able to cope with it.
No.
So, is that down to Jürgen Klopp's squad selection?
No, I mean, no one predicted that Lovren would go off after 4 minutes, did they? And I mean, I think Lovren in there, as much as we criticised him in the Man City game, I mean, he was the senior, sort of the experienced centre-half in that game, and his role was to sort of lock down and coach Fabinho. And I mean, when they lost him, it's sort of like headless chickens in that at the back there. And I mean, it was terrible. I mean, we've seen poor defences over Liverpool's era, but that was worse than poor. So you say you've got a DM and a 16-year-old player, a bunch of players that have never played together, let alone in that position. And it was just, I don't think it's Klopp's fault. I think it's fair enough to rotate, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. The league is the priority. But like I said, I didn't predict a performance that poor.
No, I didn't either. But I will say some of the blame's got to go on Jürgen Klopp for me, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, because you could have had Van Dijk on the bench.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
He was
that's
serious
true.
About progressing in this competition. Yeah. If he wasn't serious about progressing in the competition, he wouldn't have brought Salah and Firmino on, would he?
No.
That's what it comes down to. So he's shown his hand there. He showed that he wanted to progress past Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think Hoover was brought along for the ride to experience what it's like with the first team. He's obviously been training with them.
Yeah.
It's his job to predict those type of things. If an injury occurs to this player, what am I going to do? And having a 16-year-old on the bench really hurt us there.
Yeah, it really did. And like you say, it's more of a, look, you're on the bench. That's the sort of the big chance that he's got there. It's like you've come along and you're actually in the squad. You, there is a chance there. But Klopp never, ever... Oh, nice.
Sound.
Thank you.
So you can't hear that, but there's a fella behind us going, fuck the Wolves, red men.
I wish I was
fair play to him, like,
on the beers.
Fair play to him. I've got no idea where we are, so I don't know how he's found us, but maybe he's followed us down from the stadium, or maybe he's just having a beer and he's a Liverpool fan. Yeah. Getting back onto the game then, what did you make of Rafa Camacho's performance, Bailey?
Honestly, we were talking about man of the matches. For me, I think he was fine. I mean, considering the performance that Mignolet had, constantly putting him under pressure with a short pass when he's got two men on him. I thought he dealt with it fantastically. I mean, it's just, that's his first start this season, isn't it, prior to pre-season. I thought he was okay. Like, I think that as much as you can expect from a player that's had no minutes, that's playing in a makeshift defence, especially when Lovren goes off, and I think he dealt with it really well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the timing of this game is mad because this is a game straight after we've just let Nathaniel Clyne leave the football club, you know, and, you know, and this would have been a perfect game for somebody like a Nathaniel Clyne, and, you know, moving through the gears, so to speak, Bailey. I thought the midfield was the one that really let us down. I mean, listen, you can ask questions of Fabinho because he's a DM, you can ask questions of Hoover, but for me it was James Milner, and I talked a little bit about this on my match reaction.
Yeah.
I thought he was dropping a little bit too deep. Like, he needed to trust Hoover and Fabinho a little bit more as the experienced player, not sort of step on their toes. And what happened is he was dropping so deep and almost in between the centre halves at times.
Yeah.
And Camacho was the guy bombing forwards, that there was no one in the middle of the park to play football with Naby Keita. You know, he was picking the ball up and looking for people like Curtis Jones and stuff, but he needed a midfield partner. He needed somebody there who he could pass to, who could be level-headed, put his foot on the ball and start spraying the ball around. But because he was so deep, we never got the ball moving forward. We never got the ball to Divock Origi, we never got the ball to Daniel Sturridge. And when we did, they were dead poor in possession.
Yeah, it was bad. And like me and Tom were saying during the game, we were like, what, the one thing we need here is a creative midfielder, someone that can come on the pitch and sort of, we're playing with our backs to the ball because Milner's dropping so deep, he's trying to find a Shaqiri, he's trying to find a Keita, but they're placing the back, so they're just playing it straight back to the defenders and we're not getting forward. And it's horrible because look at Lallana. I didn't realise that he had a slight knock, didn't he, before the game?
Who's the thought that we're literally 25 minutes away from the stadium and we're getting bantered more here than anywhere we've ever done it before?
Like,
I just done videos outside the ground and nobody said a peep to us. Like, now we're miles away and everyone keeps coming out.
If you're looking for a place to be in Wolves, Gorsbrook Road, it happens here. It goes on.
All going off here outside the winning post. Ah, oh, we weren't at the winning post today, were we, Bailey?
I love that. No, like I say, like an injury to Adam Lallana before the game, that's horrible because this is the game where you'd like to bring him off the bench and to get minutes in his legs. Like, he's the guy that would make a difference there. Because, I mean, we're looking at the pitch and there's forwards galore, but they're not getting the service because that's the one thing I think we lacked. I think they made up for it with the movement that they provided because I think we're very static in the first half. But you need that central guy. Oh, my Lord. You need that central guy.
Hilarious.
That can pull strings, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a good role. Yeah.
No, I agree with that. I think that midfield is exactly what we were lacking first half. And for me, again, I said that on my match reaction, we'll expand on a little bit more here, Bailey. Second half, we came out, Milner was noticeably 15 yards further up the field.
Yep.
And he put a little bit more trust in Hoover. I wonder whether the management had said to him, mate, you need to get forwards a little bit more because we're getting killed in the middle of the park. You got Ruben Neves in there, Dendonka or whatever his name is, in the middle of the park. And unfortunately, it was Ruben Neves with an absolute...
It was a peach.
Pearler.
It was a peach. Yeah,
it was in past Mignolet. He didn't have a chance for that one.
No, and that it's horrible with the time that it comes as well because we're giving it the beans. We've just gone 1-1. There's a pretty good goal from Divock Origi as far as they come. And just to go, and it was 25 yards out, just an absolute peach in the bottom left. And it just sucks all of the wind out of the team. And it's horrible because then the players are poised to come on, aren't they? You've got your big men like your salary food that are going to change the game and sort of put the nail in the coffin. And then you've got to go and fight back again. And that's why you're missing that midfielder, like going back to it again, to build from the back again. And it was just, it felt like we were one or two players missing. Like I say, Van Dijk at the back, Lallana in the middle.
What did you make of Daniel Sturridge's performance and his position, actually? Because there was times when he looked like he was playing in the 10 to me. And there was times when Origi was kind of moving over to that left-hand side and vacating the centre. How did you think we lined up there?
It was strange. It looked, like I say, static. Like, I mean, you look at how we play normally, especially on that left. We've got a lot of service on the left-hand side that game. You'll have, normally, Robertson had come up, play it to Mane, Robertson had overlap, and he's the outlet. It felt like Origi had come and show for it, and then no one else had run around him, so he'd come inside, and then the players were all inside, all marked, and it just felt like the move that Origi and Sturridge are not players that you've got in there to move and to draw men and be an outlet, are they? And it's sort of that, I said to you before the game, like those two on the pitch, something could happen, so it could be fun. You could get a Sturridge 30-yard worldie and an Origi banging header, But not, if it comes to playing football, those two guys aren't the players there that are going to make things happen.
Yeah, and again, you know, that goal comes from James Milner picking the ball up right on the edge of the area, working his way into the area, and then we get bodies in there and we get that finish across. It looked like a great finish from Divock. You know, he didn't have a lot of space to work in. He was backing and forth on a little bit, great strike and stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the first goal a little bit. I'll be honest with you, we've not seen any replays or anything. You know, we're still in Wolverhampton. We've mentioned that a few times. I remember it from Fabinho essentially diving in and missing a challenge. What I felt like when I was doing the match reaction, you were all stood behind the camera and I was talking about Mignolet's positioning for it. Do you think he should have been off his line? I'm not saying it's his fault, because ultimately there's a guy running one-on-one with him and Milner's chasing back and Hoover's nowhere near.
Yeah.
But could Mignolet have done better? Would Alisson have done better?
That's true. But for me, I think Fabinho's at fault there. Okay. I personally think... He's a DM. He likes to put the slides in. He's a no-nonsense defensive midfielder. And I think he forgot that he was a centre-back. He goes running up the pitch to go and slide in a two-footed crunching challenge. If he misses that, you've got a 16-year-old. You're the last man. And you're the last senior defender on the pitch, which is mad because he's not even a defender. And he's leaving Milner to bust the gut across 25 yards of the pitch when they're in the momentum. And it's just, you've left a gaping hole there. And as poor as Mignolet is, Fabinho never should have challenged for that ball as rashly as he did. But again, Mignolet's positioning, it's Mignolet, isn't it? He could have done better. And Alisson, I think, does better there. And like I said, but again, Fabinho, I think, is the root cause of that goal for me.
And what about when the lads come on? I think I mentioned earlier on in the video, I think Jürgen Klopp showed that he wanted to progress in this competition, whether Liverpool fans wanted us to at that stage or not. Mm. You know, I was thinking with 5 minutes to go, and I hate myself for thinking this, is a draw here good for Liverpool? Because it's about the long term, isn't it? You know, and the league and the Champions League is really where it's at. And I feel bad saying that, because the FA Cup's a competition that I want Liverpool to win. I want Liverpool to be in it.
Yeah.
But when we've got such a realistic chance at the Premier League trophy this season, there's something at the back of my mind going, I wonder if this could be a really big point for us later on in the season.
I completely agree with you there. Like, honestly, if it was a choice of 2-2 or a 2-1, I'd take a loss. I think Liverpool fans this season have got tunnel vision for the league, especially with the chance that the 4 points clear. We've got a lot of good games to play, not as many harder opposition to play anymore. The Champions League we're in a great position for. For me, the FA Cup's a nice one. I mean, if you've got the squad depth and you've got the length, but with the injuries we've had to the centre-backs, we've now had Lovren injured in that game. I don't want another handful of games where it's the third sort of tier competition for us. I honestly would rather go gung-ho for the two competitions that we're most passionate for.
Yeah, and you know, Manchester City obviously played a reasonably strong side. I mean, a very strong side for playing Rotherham at home and beat them 7-0. They've got two legs in the League Cup coming up as against Burton. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Tottenham are in that competition though. I think they got Chelsea in that one, so they've got two legs there. Tottenham obviously won 7-0 away from home. Newport, was it? They were playing or something like that. I can't remember. Was it Newport to beat Leicester? I forget anyway. So Tottenham have progressed. Now Liverpool are out of both of the domestic cup competitions. We're focusing on the Premier League, but ultimately, Bailey, we need to bounce back here.
Absolutely.
You know, two defeats on the bounce for Liverpool, and you can rationalise it by saying it's most of the second string or something, but I've seen second strings go and get beaten for Liverpool and it affect our form. We say winning breeds winning.
Yep, definitely.
I think defeats hurt as well.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like that, I was saying to Tom, I can take a defeat. Like the City defeat, I was okay with, because we gave it our all. It was fine margins in that game that it came down to. That was just a terrible performance from the team. Like, you can't expect the players. Like, you've got Shaqiri in there, you've got Sturridge, you've got Salah and Bobby that come on. They're players that still start in your team. And I mean, they've really got to take the reins and say, all right, we're the senior players here. We've got to drag all the men around us to at least a fight. And I mean, we didn't show a fight in that first half. And it took bringing Salah and Bobby on for it to even make it a game almost. Mm. And for me, it's Brighton, isn't it? Brighton away we've got the weekend. And I mean, that's crucial. And I mean, like, you can say all you want, okay, well, it's all eggs in one basket now with the Champions League and the Premier League. But if you then, the Premier League form ducks, then we're sort of screwed almost, aren't
we? Yeah, that's it. Let's hope it doesn't then, you know. Jürgen Klopp's got some big decisions to make, thankfully. I think there's five days before the game away at Brighton.
Yep.
It'll be a tough game. It's a long travel for Liverpool fans and stuff. You know, we're dejected at the moment. I think when we sleep on it, when we come back tomorrow, we'll be doing the final word in the studio.
Yep.
RedmenTV.com. It's £5 a month, over 30 accounts. exclusive shows per month, most of them ranging from like 45 minutes to an hour long. We'll be dissecting this, and I know right now that sounds terrible, but it really is, and viewers of the show say this, and I feel this when we record it. It's a cathartic experience. Definitely. Being able to watch the game back, talk about it, talk about what was good, talk about what was bad, rationalise everything. Yep. If you need a little bit of that in your life, then go over, subscribe, you get your first month free. Of course, we'll be taking comments from this video and utilising them in The Final Word like we do every single week. After a win, draw, defeat, it doesn't matter. We're here for your home, away, near, far. That's Red Men TV. Thanks very much for watching. Like the video, subscribe to the website, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and we'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.